The Johnson's Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryan, and me, Harlow Wilcox. The script is by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie. Music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. There's no mistaking the Glow Coat Glow when you see it on your kitchen linoleum. It has a luster you can't miss, a luster that can only be had with genuine Johnson's Glow Coat. What's more, that glow is now brighter. Yes, there's a new glow in this self-polishing floor wax that makes your linoleum shine far more brightly than before. Yet, while its glow is brighter, Glow Coat is as easy as ever to use. You just apply it to your linoleum and forget about it. As it dries, Glow Coat produces its own gleaming finish without any help from you. Remember that there's only one Glow Coat. It's made exclusively by the makers of Johnson's Wax. And it comes in the familiar yellow container with the bright red band. Tomorrow, ask for the self-polishing floor wax that women favor 2-to-1. Johnson's Glow Coat. One thing about Mr. McGee of 79 Wistful Vista, when he has something to say, he says it. He always has something to say, especially when somebody else is talking. Listen to Mrs. McGee trying to read him an item in the paper as we join Fibber McGee and Molly.
Say, here's an interesting thing, McGee. It says they're using airplanes now to drop hay to cattle that are stranded in the snow and
Oh, yeah, sure. That's called a haylift, Molly.
I know. According to the paper...
The reason they call it the haylift is on account of they have to lift the hay out of the hayloft and lift it onto the haylift plane before the haylift plane can lift the hayloft. Which is how a haylift lifts hay, of course. Aloft.
I see. Well, according to the paper...
Frankly, I think they're going at the thing all wrong, anyhow. I fed cattle myself, you know, on Uncle Sycamore's ranch in Wyoming.
Well, anyhow, this paper says the cattle are marooned in snow several feet deep.
Shouldn't ought to turn cattle loose in snow that deep. They'll catch cold. Read some more, Molly.
I'm trying to, McGee. It goes on to say...
When I worked on Uncle Sycamore's ranch last summer, we never had snow like that all summer. Got a whole lot hotter than it did colder on account of because you...
McGee! For goodness sakes.
Huh?
Sit down, dearie. Mother wants to talk to you.
Huh?
Look, sweetheart. I liked you a lot, you know that. But you do have one bad fault.
I do?
Yes, you do. You have a terrible habit of interrupting people when they're telling you something.
I do?
Yes. You should learn to keep quiet when other people are talking, dearie. Everybody likes a good listener. You wouldn't like it if nobody listened to you, would you?
Oh, what a horrible thought. But you're right, kiddo. I'm sold. Everybody likes a good listener, and from now on, that's me.
Good.
Besides, I got a hunch you hear more stuff when you're listening than you do when you're talking.
I think you have a thought there.
Probably hear some awful tripe, too, but I'll listen. I'll stop butting in. I'll keep my big fat mouth shut.
I hope this is somebody interesting, dearie.
No, it probably isn't. Probably just one of our friends. But come in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Oldtimer.
Hello there, kids. Hi, Johnny. Hi, daughter. Hey, did you hear about the grass widow that dyed her hair, kids?
No, what about her?
It's a top secret.
Nah.
I heard that one on the radio. Some comedian said
that... Do you think
that...
that's funny? You ought to hear the jokes I used to tell when I and Fred Nittany wasn't
bought.
Huh? Oh. Excuse me, old-timer. Sorry I interrupted you. Go right ahead with your conversation.
Well, I was just going downtown anyhow, so...
I'm turning over a new leaf. Going to stop butting in all the time when people are talking.
Like that, he means.
Yes. I'm going to listen more and talk less. People hate a guy that talks all the time. Go ahead and talk.
Yes, all right, Johnny. Everybody talks too much. Papa used to always tell us not to talk so much when us kids was kids, kid.
Good fatherly advice.
Yep, I can hear him now, daughter. Climb up, kids, he'd say. Here come the cops. We're always...
Hey, yes. What'd your father do for a living, old-timer? Work?
Yep, he tried everything, Johnny, but luck was against him.
Yeah?
I mind he opened up a restaurant one time, and they throwed him in jail.
Arrested him, huh? Why?
Politics, daughter. The restaurant he opened up belonged to the mayor.
I suppose you had to work when you were a little.
How was that, Johnny?
I says, I suppose you had to work when you were little.
Like a beaver, Johnny.
Yeah?
I mind one time I took up pigeon raising. I bought 6 pigeons, hung out a sign, sold 27 of them the next week, and
hey,
I was...
Hey, wait a minute. How could you sell 27 birds when you only had 6 to start with?
Homing pigeons, son.
Yeah?
Sell a pair in the morning, they'd be home by noon. Sell them again after lunch, and they'd be back in the coop by sundown.
Yeah.
I'd have made a fortune at it if something hadn't come up unexpected.
What came up?
Jeopardy Sheriff, daughter. We had a toast.
Well, that's nothing compared to... That's nothing compared to the racket I had as a kid. I sprayed white rabbits with aluminum paint and sold them for silver foxes. I had quite a deal.
McGee.
Huh? Oh. Oh, excuse the interruption. Sorry, go ahead with your story, old-timer. It's very interesting.
Thanks, Johnny. Well, like
I said... Not as interesting as my experience with the rabbits, though. Go ahead, anyway. I'll listen.
No. You talk, Johnny. I'll listen.
No, no. You go ahead. I'll listen.
No, you.
No, you.
Johnny, I'd love to stay and play games with you, but I got a date.
A date?
Yep, I'm taking Bessie to lunch, kids. Every payday, I take Bessie out and do we eat.
Oh, isn't that thoughtful? So today's your payday, is it?
Nope, Bessie's. So long, kids.
Billy Mills, the orchestra, and Powder Your Face with Sunshine.
Listener, Molly?
Yes, you talk too much. You should give others a chance to speak now and then, for the sake of good manners, if nothing else.
Well, I'm making an effort, kiddo. Any time I make up my mind to do something, I do it. All I gotta have is an aqueduct reason for doing it.
A what?
An aqueduct reason. If I don't have an aqueduct reason, I...
No. No, sweetheart.
Huh?
You don't mean an aqueduct reason. You mean an adequate reason.
You mean on account of etiquette means good manners? Like Emily Post wrote a book on proper etiquette? You know, should she ask the gentleman in for a cup of sassafras tea after he spent $90 on her in a nightclub, or should she brush him off?
No, McGee, that was not adequate.
I'll say it wasn't. At least the gal could have done would be to smush a little bit in the front hall. Because
no. I mean, that was not a book about etiquette. That was etiquette.
I thought an etiquette was a kind of an overhead sewer. That brings water from someplace that needs it down to where they don't want it.
Now we're getting someplace. That's an aqueduct.
It is? Well, then what did I say wrong in the first place?
You said you needed an aqueduct reason. You mean adequate.
Look, let's leave Emily Post out of this. All I said...
Come in, for goodness sake. Oh, hello, Your Honor. McGee, it's the mayor.
Well, so tis, so tis. Hi, Latrell.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. McGee?
Do sit down, Mr. Mayor. We're in the midst of an interesting experiment.
Is that so? What is it?
I'm trying to get to be a good listener, Latrell. You know how I always been. The minute somebody starts talking, I butt in like a popcorn eater at a sad movie.
Yes, yes, I've often noticed.
Gab, that's me. And by George, I made up my mind to correct it.
Well, I think that's a very excellent...
Yes, sir. From now on, I listen.
I'm very glad to hear that, because of
all things... Sit down there, Latrell, and start talking.
Better make some pointed remarks, Mr. Mayor. It's the only way you'll ever get them in. Now, you keep quiet, dearie.
Okay. I'll be quieter than a rubber-heeled butterfly tiptoeing over 20 foot of wet moss. Go ahead and talk, Latrell.
How?
Oh, I'll keep quiet. What's the news of our city government, boy? What's the latest civic improvement?
You keeping quiet. If I live long enough to see it. I was telling Miss Tremaine last night that of all the people
Phoebe
I know...
Phoebe Tremaine? Yours and Doc Gamble's girlfriend? How is Phoebe, Latrell?
Miss Tremaine is fine, thank you. She may go east to do a play.
Oh, really? Say, she's a fine actress, isn't she, Mr. Mayor?
Oh, terrific, Molly. If you could see her making Latrive and... Yes, sir, you ought to see her making Latrive and Doc Gamble both think they're the only man in her life. Oh, boy. What a performance. Well,
McGee?
Hmm?
You say she's going east, Mr. Mayor?
She's considering it, yes. If she finds the right vehicle for her talents in New York...
Oh, them New York vehicles. Oh, boy, they scare me to death, Latrive. Tell Phoebe to stay out of them.
I'm afraid we're talking about two different kinds.
I'll never forget one experience I had in a New York vehicle. The driver says to me, he says, "Where to, Mac?" And I says, "Follow that cab up ahead there," I says. And he says, "Are you a cop or a private eye?" And I says, "I'm neither one, bud," I says. "I'm just a mug that got out of that other taxi and left his suitcase in it." Well, sir...
McGee.
So he steps on the gas... Huh?
You haven't let Mayor Latrivia finish one single sentence. You've interrupted everything he said.
I have? Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
That's quite all right, McGee. You've done me a favor. When the next election comes and the papers start asking me questions, I want to remember to do one thing.
Yeah, what, Latriv?
Shut up.
Huh?
Good day, Molly.
You see, McGee, he was really annoyed.
Yeah.
I tell you, you simply must be more courteous to people.
Yeah, I know. I got to start controlling myself. This gab habit is a worse curse than drink. By the way, what do you hear from Uncle Dennis?
Well, I had a card from him the other day. He's very well.
He's in good spirits and vice versa, I suppose. The only time he's ever...
Hello, Molly. Hi, pal.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior.
Hey, before I forget it, I... brought you a cigar, pal. Got it at a sales meeting.
Oh, swell, Junior. Just put it on the desk here. I'll smoke it later. Fine. One of your salesmen have a baby?
No, but his wife did. He was passing out cigars, so I grabbed us each one.
Sit down, Mr. Wilcox. We were just working on a little problem when you came in.
What problem is that?
Me. I talk too much.
It isn't your talking so much, sweetheart. It's the fact that you keep interrupting everybody else.
Yeah.
If the government ever heard you in a conversation, they'd arrest you for operating a monopoly.
She's right, pal. You're always interrupting me. The minute I say Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, for instance.
But you're always talking about glow coat. You're always
McGee.
Saying...
You interrupted Mr. Wilcox right in the middle...
Molly, please. You interrupted me when I...
Now, hey, pal. Wait a minute.
My gosh, I can't ever...
Now, look. We're off to a bad start here. Everybody's interrupting everybody.
Yes, you are, McGee. Now, let Mr. Wilcox talk.
Okay, I'll be quiet. Shoot, Junior.
Okay. Do you mind if I sit on the corner of the desk here, Molly, where I can look out to the kitchen and see that beautiful glow coat on your kitchen linoleum?
Oh, not at all, Mr. Wilcox.
Thank you. No. Because Johnson's self-polishing glow coat is not only a delight to look at, but it's the finest protection for your linoleum that money can buy. Needs no rubbing.
Hey, wait.
And no buffing. It's easy to use. Just pour it out, spread it around, let it dry in 20 minutes or less to a beautiful...
Yeah, but look...
Hush, McGee.
Yeah, but he's...
Quiet. Go on, Mr. Wilcox.
To a beautiful, sparkling finish that makes spilled things so easy to wipe up.
But,
Glow Coat now has a new post-war glow added.
But, shush, McGee.
Which every housewife will appreciate. Johnson's self-polishing...
Hey, look.
All right.
Which...
All right. I give up. Look, pal, you asked me in. You tell me to talk.
Yeah.
You invite me to sit down. And what happens?
I'll tell you what happens. You're sitting on my cigar.
What?
Look at it. Busted all to pieces.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, pal. But look, about this habit of butting in all the time. You keep working on it. You can cure it. I had a cousin with the same trouble.
Oh, did you, Mr. Wilcox?
Yep. Big Budinsky Wilcox. He got over it, finally.
Yeah, how, Junior? How?
He died. Go on, kid.
What a help he was. Give me a good cigar and then parks his big fat sales talk on it and busts it.
Well, I'm going upstairs to sort the laundry. You just keep concentrating, dearie. You can conquer that thing.
Okay, Tootsie. Ah, there goes a good kid. You think how patient she's been with me all these years and me so darn Gabby. After she said I do, she's hardly been able to get a word in since. That ain't it. Come in. Oh, hi, sis. Come on in. Well, how's things, Deanie?
Oh, just dandy, Mr. McGee, I bet you.
Yeah?
I just thought I'd step in and say hello on my way to the library.
Oh, you did, eh?
Yeah, it was...
I said you did, eh?
Did what?
Thought you'd stop on your way and say hello.
On my way where?
To the library.
And say hello to who?
To me.
I know it.
Hello. What's the book you're taking back to the library?
Oh, this was a dandy book, I bet you. Robertson Crusoe.
Oh. Robertson Crusoe, eh? Yeah, that's a fine book, sis. Great story.
I'll say, mister. Mm-hmm. You know what?
Hmm?
He was casted away on a desert island and almost got ate up by some cannonballs, and he saw a fingerprint of a man's foot on the sand, and he was a man.
Hmm.
And Robinson Crusoe saved his life from the cannonballs and named him Friday.
Yeah, I remember. Well, tell me some more.
Okay. See, I like to tell you stories, Mr. McGee.
You do, sis? Why?
On account of you never interrupt me like other people do.
Well, I think it's rude to interrupt people, Teeny. Bad manners. I always been considered a good listener myself.
Why are you blushing, Mr. McGee?
I guess I was just embarrassed to think how long it's been since I read a good book like Robertson Crusoe. You know why Robertson named his man Friday?
Sure I do, I bet.
Why?
Because he wanted to keep him with him there on that island. He didn't want anybody to take him away.
Yeah, but what that got to do with naming him Friday?
Well, gee, what if you named him Saturday? Lots of people take Saturday off, but nobody ever takes Friday.
Oh.
Well, I gotta be getting down to the library. I just stopped in to say hello. Hello.
Hello.
Kingsman and Siesta.
Siesta. Siesta. Siesta. Can't you see that I need Sienta?
chin. Get out of my ear. Get off of my nose. Man, loose out of here. Get out of my life. I'm talking to you, you busy fly. Why don't you shoo, fly, shoo? Fly, shoo. Get off of my chin. Get out of my ear. Get off of my nose. Man, loose out of here. Get out of my life. I'm talking to you, you busy fly. Why don't you shoo, fly, shoo? Fly, shoo. Go away, fly. Stop your buzzing by. Don't you ruin my siesta. Siesta.
I'm making progress. I'm learning to listen, kiddo. I'm getting to be a good listener.
Well, good. Sick. You can do it, dearie, if you just watch it. I was talking with Mrs. Toops on the phone, and I was telling her
about... Hey, did she say how Mort is? She say anything about Mort? Her husband, Mort Toops? Mort?
You see? There you go again, McGee.
Huh? Oh, my gosh, I keep forgetting, Molly. I don't mean to. Doggone it, what's the matter with me anyhow?
I told you. You talk too much.
You said it. I'm just a blabbermouth. A loud-voiced, leather-lunged, loose-lipped old blabbermouth.
Oh, now, I wouldn't go that far, dearie. Look, now, if this thing is going to upset you so much, let's not worry about it. Let's forget it. I love you just the way you are.
No, sir.
Why, I do, too. It's the talk of the town.
No. I didn't mean that, baby. I know. I mean, I'm not going to forget about listening to people. By George, I'll listen to...
Well, now, here comes your chance. Frankly, I'm not too hopeful, but... Come in.
I'll be polite. I'll be so darn polite.
Oh, do come in, Dr. Gamble.
Oh, this is going to be tough.
Hello, Molly. And good day to you, live bait.
Hi, Splint Whittler. How's business?
Business, I'm happy to report, has been as dull as your conversation. Except for one interesting case I had yesterday.
What was the case, Doctor?
A man came in with a lacerated forehead and asked me if a bird's beak was poisonous.
A bird's beak? My gosh, don't tell me...
McGee.
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry, Doc. Go on, Doc. I didn't mean to interrupt.
So I said, what kind of a bird was it? And he said, a cuckoo. It seems he was examining a broken clock, and all of a sudden it struck noon and stabbed him 12 times on the head before he could duck. So I told him...
I had a similar experience, Doc. I had a couple of pet lovebirds and a parrot, see, and the parrot kept asking the lovebirds why didn't they get married. He said he'd perform the ceremony for 6 pumpkin seeds, but the lovebirds just...
McGee. You interrupted the doctor.
I did? Oh, I'm sorry, Doctor. Please forgive me. That was unexcusable of me. Please proceed with your very interesting narrative.
What goes on here? When did you start being sorry for your own bad manners, Wobblepuss?
Today, Doctor.
You see, Fatso, I just come to realize that I ain't a good listener. I talk too much. Mm-hmm. My trouble is that my life has been so much more interesting than anybody else's that I get impatient, and first thing you know, I'm yammering away 16 to the dozen.
Your trouble, my boy, is that you're just a loud-voiced, leather-lunged, loose-lipped blabbermouth.
You know, that's odd, Doctor. He said the very same thing himself.
Yeah, but I was kidding. He's not.
No, I'm not. McGee, you are the only man I ever knew who interrupts himself.
Oh, yeah?
You couldn't keep your mouth shut 5 minutes flap-lip if your life depended on it.
How long?
5 minutes.
For how much dough?
$5.
Boy, you got a bet.
Oh, now, boys, what
it's
a silly...
It's a bet. I'll time you.
You said it. It's a bet. Let me get a drink of water so my throat don't get dry. Where's the drink of water, Molly? In the kitchen? Okay, I'll go.
You know, Doctor, this might help him at that. If we could fix it so every time he interrupted a conversation, it would cost him money. No. He'd have to be rich, wouldn't he? Oh, here he comes.
All right. You ready, loudmouth? I'll time in. You can be...
Oh, look. He's already started, Doctor. He's just nodding his head.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just relax a while and watch his blood pressure come up. You know, I had an interesting thing happen at the Elks Club last week, Molly.
Really, Doctor?
Yes, they have a chairman of the pool table committee down there who is a very noisy, offensive little character.
Well, who is it, Doctor? Anyone we know?
Oh, it's nobody interesting, Molly. Just a little twerp with more time than brains who volunteered for the job because it allows him 3 free games of pool a week.
Lord.
My... happened to let a fellow like that join?
Well, it's a mystery to me. I hear that when his name was mentioned for membership, he got so many black balls, it looked like a plate of caviar. And they say that when he really...
Well, he hasn't said a word so far, Doctor. Look, he's pointing at the clock. Is the time up?
Well, well. It's been so pleasant chatting with you that I completely overlooked the time, Molly. He's had his big fat mouth shut for nearly 10 minutes.
Hmm?
You won, McGee. Hmm? You won. You had your big fat mouth, or your mouth shut for nearly 10 minutes, dearie. Stay off, Doctor.
Gladly, Molly. Gladly. Here's the $5, McGee.
You can talk now, sweetheart. You won the bet.
What are you trying to say? Open your mouth, McGee. What have you got in your mouth?
Doctor, look. He's got a tennis ball in his mouth.
What? Why the jerky?
Mouth, if it's moved there, it won't come out. Out in a flip.
Well, stand there. Stand there and suffer, you little chiseler. No wonder you didn't interrupt. You couldn't talk, you little...
Doctor, please, go on, do something.
Please, Doctor, and both.
His show.
All right, Molly, I'll take it out. It's a pretty picture,
though. Oh, yeah.
With that tennis ball in his mouth and his ears sticking out, he looks exactly like the Davis Cup. Come on, open wide, stupid. Wider. Now, let me get a hold of it. There you are.
That's better. Well, I won my bet, Molly. $5.
Silly days of all the silly things.
Oh, thanks a lot for taking that tennis ball out, too, Doc. Thanks, pal.
It's a pleasure, my boy. Very reasonable, too.
Huh?
The fee is exactly $5.
McGee, your mouth is open again.
There's no doubt about it. You'll find it hard to keep your eyes off the gleaming finish of your linoleum after you've used Johnson's Glow Coat. Especially now that Glow Coat has a new glow, a glow that makes your linoleum shine far more brightly than before. Be sure to look for Johnson's Glow Coat, the self-polishing floor wax made exclusively by the makers of Johnson's Wax. Once you take home that familiar yellow container with the bright red band, once you've seen the luster it gives your linoleum, you'll know why more than twice as many women buy Johnson's Glow Coat than any other self-polishing floor wax.
What a jip. What a swindle. $5 just for taking a tennis ball out of a guy's
mouth. Well, it was worth it, dearie. If it hadn't been for Dr.
Worth it?
Gambling.
My gosh. He could be the world's champ with a tennis racket like that.
Don't you get it, Molly? Racket? Tennis racket? It's a player.
It ain't funny, McGee.
You said it. My jaws hurt. Good night.
Good night, all.
The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, and Brantford, Canada, bring you Fibber, McGee, and Molly each week at this time. Be with us again next Tuesday night, won't you?
Do you put off polishing your dining room chairs? If so, there must be a reason. And it's probably this. Polishing furniture used to take time. Well, you can now clean and wax polish a chair in less than 90 seconds. The polish that'll do it is Johnson's Cream Wax, an almost unbelievably fast polish that cleans so quickly, dries so quickly, polishes so quickly that using it is practically as easy as dusting. A few strokes with a cloth clean the chair. A few more and the chair is brightly polished. That's because Johnson's Cream Wax not only cleans in a moment, it dries in a moment. And it polishes in a moment to a hard, satin-smooth wax finish. Start tomorrow with Johnson's Cream Wax, the fastest wax polish you can buy.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.